The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Wow. It's dark. Well, let's have some light on the subject.
Put on your critical thinking caps and please refrain from hugging. It's time for Dimland Radio with your host, Jim, Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons.
Hello and welcome to Dimland Radio here in the ZTalk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. I'm your host, Jim, Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons. Remember, I'm not really a doctor. I just play doctor online. And before I get started, my goodness, I have a little bit of a something going on in my throat here. I better take a little swallow of something. Hopefully that'll clear it out. Hang on, give me I know I should have done this before the show, and truth is, I did, but I apparently got to do it again. So hold on. That's some good Gatorade Zero Glacier Freeze flavor. That's the pastel blue color of the Gatorade drink. Okay, hopefully that helped. All right. Well, as I said, welcome to Dimland Radio. I'm your host, Jim, Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons, and you know the rest. I have to start the show with a correction of sorts. I mean, it's sort of a correction. The reason I say that is, what am I correcting? Last week, in my It's Not True segment, I talked about a woman who got herself a pair of stockings that had a snake print on them, with the head of the snake being on the foot, where the toes, you know, that toe section of the foot is the head of the snake. Well, she wore those to bed, along, and her husband, who presumably was sleeping in the same bed with her, woke up to see a snake in the bed because she had her foot out from one of her feet out from under the blanket. He grabbed an iron stick and whacked her in the foot, breaking her foot. And of course, this wasn't true. And that it still isn't true. But the correction is, it wasn't exactly an off-the-cuff statement. I mean, I had thought about it before the show. When I was doing up the show prep the night before, I had thought, iron stick? An iron stick? Aren't sticks made of wood? I don't know. But I didn't take the time to Google it and figure it out. Maybe I should have. It was just a soft, pedantic moment, just kind of off the cuff. Still sort of off the cuff, even though I probably had time to look it up. But once, you know, I'm deep into my show prep and there's other things that were more important than what was going to be just this weird little, just a tiny little pedantic moment. Well, friend of the show and personal friend of mine, Craig, he did send me a note after hearing the show. He says, well, there is this iron stick. And it's, didn't you Google it? And I said, nah, it was an off-the-cuff kind of thing. So I was doing show prep last night, and I did Google the iron stick reference or to see if there was such a thing. Craig did send me a link to something that seemed like it was an iron stick. It's like something you could buy. And then he mentions there's a lot of martial arts videos with the iron stick thing. So I started looking this up, and I found that there's an iron rosewood stick that you can buy. And I looked at it, and it looks like it's made of wood. Why they call it an iron rosewood stick? I don't know. Why? I don't know if iron sticks are made of iron. I think the term iron stick in that usage is more about the metaphorical strength or it's a metaphor for the strength of the stick. It's as strong as iron, you know, that kind of thing. The other thing I found was there's a video game called Kenshi, which is a role-playing video game sort of thing. And I guess it's a weapon, an iron stick weapon, used by the lower power characters within the role-playing game. I think one I know is a fog man, or fog men, and the others I think are some kind of zombies, I think? Anyway, whenever I would look up some other stuff, I found this site that had, it was a wiki site about some recipe that had an iron stick reference in it somehow, and it was very difficult for me to decipher what was being said in there. Because there's certain sites where they set them up in a weird way. It was like, okay, what is going on here? I don't know. So I guess there's a sort of an iron stick, but it's still not made of wood, I think. I don't know. So this is a correction, sort of. I'm not going to dig any more into it, because I've done enough with that. I do have a question for my listener. Now, don't blurt out the answer. I want you to think about it. You don't have to just throw out an answer, okay? Think about it. I will get to the answer in a moment, but I need to ask you the question. How many phone calls does it take to stop the daily delivery of a newspaper? All right. Now, again, don't blurt out the answer. Don't spoil it for the rest of us. I'll get to the answer momentarily. let's see. The background on this is, as my longtime listener will know, will undoubtedly remember, my wife and I moved in to my parents' house last August. That was we did that to assist my father in his ability to stay home, to live at home. He had some health problems that started about a year ago from right now. I think it was March of 2023 that he started having some health problems. Went into the hospital, went into transition care, went back into the hospital and then back into transition care. He had COVID in that stretch. His health was hit pretty hard. And when he got out of that transition care the second time, moved back into his house, my sister stayed with him for about a month. And then we were all trying to figure, what can we do? And it was Amy that suggested to me, why don't we see if Nancy and your two brothers have any problem with us moving in? And, we sell our house, we move in with Dad, and we help keep him live in the house, keep him there. So my sister thought that was a great idea. The siblings were all on board. My dad liked the idea. So we did that. And the agreement was we would live with him, take care of him, to keep him living in his house for as long as possible until we either didn't have, he was bad enough where he needed to go into some nursing home or something, or he came to the end of his life. Well, he did die. And that was last October. So it was a lot quicker than we expected. And and the agreement was held. And we are, Amy and I, we are now official owners of the house. The county in which we live, Ramsey County, Amy looked it up. It lists us as the owners of the house. So everything's, it's there. So now that means we start paying the bills. Well, that's life, paying bills. Well, one of the bills we wanted to get rid of was the newspaper. And Dad had been a newspaper reader for as long as I'd known him. He'd watch the news on TV, but he was mainly, he got his news from the newspaper. And I remember, he would get home from work, grab the evening newspaper. Back this goes way back in time. Sometime in the 70s, they stopped having an evening edition. But for a while, there was the evening edition. Maybe in the 80s, they stopped. But there was the morning paper. There was the evening paper. Dad got both. So he'd read the morning paper before he'd go to work, or read through it. And then he'd get home, and he'd grab the evening paper, and he'd, go into the bathroom, and he'd be in there for like an hour. And I learned later in life that that was Dad's decompression time. He had had a hard day at work. He worked in construction. His trade was carpentry. So he worked hard through his career. Until he got to a position where he ran the jobs and he wasn't doing so much of the work, but still did some work, and it was still a demanding job. So he'd come home, grab the newspaper, go in the bathroom for like an hour just to decompress, catch up on the paper, take a dump, you know. So he'd always gotten a newspaper, and he still got the paper. So after he had died, the paper was still coming. I thought, well, I'm just going to wait until we get the subscription renewal notice. Who knows how long the paper will be coming, but we'll get a renewal notice. And we did, early February. And so I took that opportunity within the first week of February, the second week of February, I called the paper and I said, okay, my dad died. You know, if the paper's still being delivered to the house, we want to cancel it. So, okay, so what day would you like to make your last day? Should it be immediately, or should we go till the end of the subscription period? And I said, well, when's that? And they said, February 21st. I said, fine, let's go through that. February 21st came, had a paper. February 22nd, had a paper. February 23rd, had a paper. So on the 23rd, that was a Friday, I called again to tell did it get canceled? Yes, it did. I'm still getting a paper. Can you get the word to the carrier to stop dropping the paper here? We'll do that, sir. Sorry for the inconvenience. I still got the paper. So I called back a second time to remind them to stop delivering the paper. But this is now the third phone call. And I'm coming to the answer to the question. How many phone calls does it take to stop getting a newspaper each day? And the answer is, I don't know. Because yesterday, I called again. And I said, I'm still getting the paper. Does it show that the subscription was supposed to stop February 21st? And they said, yes, it's canceled. We have that. We're sorry for the inconvenience. We'll let the distribution center know to stop delivering the paper to you. And I said, okay, thank you. And I also said this. This is going to be the last time I call. I'm not, if the paper keeps coming, I'm not going to call again. So, I'm doing this because I don't want you guys wasting a newspaper. And I don't want the carrier wasting their time. As far as I know, our house is the only house on at least that side of the block that gets a paper. And I say I don't know how many calls it takes because this morning there was a paper. I don't know. Is it four phone calls? Because that's how many phone calls I've made. I don't know. We'll find out if I keep getting a paper. I mean, we're not going to find out how many, because I'm not going to call a fifth time. I'm not calling again. So, yeah, so for now, we're getting a free newspaper. Let's see, where am I? Yeah, I'm going to take my first break. You've been listening to Dimland Radio on the ZTalk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. I'm going to take a break. I'll be back after this bit of a break thing. How many times did I say break just then? Because you got to add that last time. Anyway, I'll be back. I'll be back. Jesus. Just let go. Just let go. Do something for me, boys. Fight, should die at sea, boys. Write a little note, boys.
Hey, this is Danny Potts from the Kentucky Ghost Chasers, and you're listening to Z-Talk Radio.
When, oh when, will someone design an exploding head emoticon? Please, someone, anyone. You're listening to Dimland Radio on ZTalk Radio Network.
Be Reasonable is the interview show from the Merseyside Skeptic Society, where each month I speak to someone about their fringe beliefs. Over the years, I've spoken to psychics, UFO believers, moon landing deniers, flat earthers, hollow earthers, and all manner of unusual conspiracy theorists. But I've also talked to AIDS denialists, white supremacists, gay conversion therapists. I even interviewed Jim Humble, the inventor of Miracle Mineral Supplement, a form of industrial bleach that he and his followers use to treat cancer and HIV. This isn't a debate show, and my aim isn't to win an argument. But when we listen to how people promote and justify the ideas that we disagree with, even the dangerous ones, I think we become much more effective at countering those ideas. If that sounds like something you'd be interested in, look for Be Reasonable on Apple Podcasts and everywhere else that podcasts live.
But we give those other guys the finger.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
I am floating over strange land. It's a sword sequence showbizman. I am floating over strange land. And the stranger still is noble.
And welcome back to Dimland Radio here in the Z-Talk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. I'm your host, Jim, Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons. Let's see. Oh, and by the way, the a subscription to the St. Paul Pioneer Press newspaper for a year of daily delivery is just under $1,700. Which works out to about $4.64 a newspaper. I could not find what the newsstand cost of a newspaper is. I could not find that, and I, as I was coming here to do the show, I stopped to get my snack that I get in the mornings. I forgot to buy a newspaper so I could find out what a daily paper costs. So, anyway. Oh, and here, by the way, is Nostalgia Zone. This is my ad. Nostalgia Zone is a comic book store in Minneapolis. We're on Lake Street and 36th Avenue. Anyway, so it's 3535 Lake Street. I can give you the address if you want. But you can go online to nostalgiazone.com. You can become a member. If you like to buy comic books, we deal in back issues only. We don't get the new ones as they come out. It usually takes a little bit of time before we get the more current comic books in the store. But we've got all kinds of comic books here. DC, Marvel, Charlton, Archie, Classics Illustrated. All kinds of comic books here. We've got magazines as well that you can find on the website. You can become a member of our membership and you'll save 10% on your purchases. You'll earn points toward more savings in the future. You can either let the points accrue so you can get big savings, or you can use them each time you order something to get a little bit of savings. You just check it out. Lots of comic books from Silver Age up to modern age. We got a few Golden Ages in there. We do have them, but yeah, just check them out. NostalgiaZone.com. Tell them Dr. Dim sent you. I don't know who you tell. when you're online, I mean, there's no place to tell them. But you know, if you come into the store on a Saturday when we're open, you could say, tell them Dr. Dim sent you, and I'll say, I certainly did not, if you tell it to me. I don't know where you heard that, because I work here on Saturdays. Anyway, so that's the ad. NostalgiaZone.com, become a member, buy some comic books, keep us in business. Let's go. We also buy collections, too. So if you have some comic books you might want to sell, you know, but it usually is better to bring those into the store. Anyway. This past week saw an interesting anniversary that just kind of went by quietly. And in fact, I didn't realize that it was the anniversary until I was talking with one of our customers who the business that he runs started on the day that this thing happened. And this anniversary of this thing, it was March 28th, 1979, that the Three Mile Island nuclear power plant accident occurred. That's in Pennsylvania somewhere. And it's been 45 years since the accident occurred. And the accident was due largely to some equipment failure some valves didn't close when they should have, and operator error. You know, human beings make mistakes. And there was two reactors at Three Mile Island, Unit 1 and Unit 2. That makes sense. They didn't call them Thing 1 and Thing 2. That would have been fun, but I suppose Dr. Seuss would get after him. Remember, if anybody tells you it's not pronounced Seuss, it's Seuss, because it's Swiss. That may be true, but then you turn to them and say, okay, so then the key phrase that the people came up with, the people who sell the books and do the animated specials on TV, it should be pronounced Dr. Seuss on the Lois. Anyway, that's just a little pedantic moment just thrown to you. Because the phrase is Dr. Seuss on the loose, right? Okay, so anyway, so it's Dr. Seuss. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. the thing about the Three Mile Island is that I think it took place just after the movie China Syndrome was released, which was about a nuclear power plant having a meltdown, having a problem in America. You know, Jack Lemmon's in the movie, Bridget Fonda and Michael Douglas is in the movie. I have not seen the movie. I guess it's pretty well reviewed, as far as I know. And it did get a boost in its box office because of the Three Mile Island accident taking place, and conspiracy minded people in those days, some of them may have thought that, oh, this is some kind of conspiracy to boost this movie's deal. Conspiracy theories are dumb. Anyway. So there's two reactors. And the second unit reactor, that one had a partial meltdown. And, you know, technical stuff, why it came down, some valves stayed open, the cooling stuff got drained away or whatever, and there was a partial meltdown. Some radiation was released, and according to the site, that I'll link to on the show notes page, go to dimland.com. Click on the show notes blog option, and you'll get to the show notes. And I'll link to it. That gives you some, you know, five things you should know about the Three Mile Island accident. And then the first thing that they want you to know is that there was, you know, no deaths, no injuries, or any direct health effects due to this accident. About 2 million. People in the area were exposed to small amounts of radiation that leaked out, which amounted to like one, what they call one, a millirem is a way of measuring radiation. It was one millirem above the, what would be the natural background millirems that a person would be exposed to in the course of a year in that area. So it's anywhere from 100 to 125 millirems would be something that people living there and animals and plants and all that would be exposed to in the course of a year. What happened with Three Mile Island added one millirem to that. And then they say, for comparison, you get a chest x-ray, you're exposed to 6 millirems, or 6 millirem, I don't think you put an S at the end. You get 6 millirem of the radiation exposure just getting an x-ray. I don't know if it's a chest x-ray or x-ray anyway. So it's not, it wasn't horrible as far as that went. No adverse effects were found in the surrounding area, you know, to people, to animals, to plant life. It led to stricter regulations and procedures and training processes to improve what's going on there. It led to upgrades and designs of nuclear reactors. The shutdown, the reactor 2 was shut down completely in 1979. And then reactor 1 continued to produce electricity without releasing any greenhouse gases, which is why we need nuclear power to help deal with climate change. The other reactor, Reactor 1, shut down finally in 2019. So just a few years ago, it shut down production. It was not good. This is not a good thing that it happened. Some positive came out of it as far as learning what to do to prevent such things from happening again. There's that. There's always, you know, that comes out of an accident. How can we prevent this? What can we learn from this? So there was that. But it was not close to the Fukushima reactor accident that took place in Japan some years ago. And it was nowhere near Chernobyl. Chernobyl was by far the worst kind of nuclear accident meltdown. It was worse. I mean, you know, there's no people living in that area. Although they go in and they study the plant life and animal life that have come back in and taken over or that in those areas. So they've been studying how that's been going, which I don't know the results of. So anyway, I just thought it's an interesting anniversary that we just came by. 45 years since the Three Mile Island accident. What's next? It's just this past week. I guess this can be a movie recommendation. I like to do movie recommendations on occasion. I used to do them fairly regularly, but you know, there's only so much time in a day, time in a show. This is for Mission Impossible 4, Ghost Protocol. I'd never seen it before. It's directed by Brad Bird, who directed wrote and was involved with Pixar films. And I think he directed The Incredibles, which is a really good Pixar film. Most of the Pixar films are really good. I haven't seen all of them. I do have Disney Plus, so I should get caught up on it. But I'm busy watching. I've been busy watching hockey games, and now with baseball being back. Hang on a second. Baseball's back. It feels good. Okay. thank you for indulging me in that bit of reverie. Anyway, I had not seen Mission Impossible 4. I saw the first Mission Impossible film in the theaters. Saw the second and third through, you know, watching on DVD, Netflix, whatever. I thought the third one, I think it's the third one that was not so great. The action sequences were not filmed very well. It's like some of the stuff was just a little too, I think that's the third one that bothered me. Might have been the second one. I don't know. One of those two. I don't know that if you haven't seen the first three, I'm not sure that you really do need to see them. If you're familiar with the TV show, if you're familiar with the ideas of these movies, it's an elite group of specialists that are sort of run by shadow government kind of things. You know, that's sort of a thing. You know, it's like the official government would, you know, if anything was found out about these people doing these actions to help these bits of espionage and kidnapping people and averting, you know, nuclear war and things that they do, if they're caught, the secretary, I guess the Secretary of Defense, but they never say, would disavow any knowledge of them. Right. So you're this. You can choose to do this mission if you want, and then the thing self-destructs in 5 seconds after he listens to the tape that was on the TV show, and then makes the movies. They still have that little sort of bit in there, except it's different ways of destroying the message. Anyway, so these films star Tom Cruise, who is very well known for doing most, maybe not all, of his stunts. He does this. He's crazy. Stunt people are crazy too to do this kind of stuff. You know, there's stuff that people do that's like, nope, I ain't doing that. You know, you'd have to be crazy to do that. Anyway, but he's known for doing the stunts, his own work. And Ghost Protocol is the one movie that I knew this about it. It's the movie that takes place, there's part of it takes place in Dubai, where the tallest building of the world is, the tallest skyscraper, tallest, it's huge. I'm not sure exactly how tall it is, but it's taller than any other building in the world. And without spoiling too much, they have to get somewhere in the building, and the only way they can get to that somewhere in the building is by getting outside of the building to get to this part. They can't. There's no way they can get to it from inside the building. It's too well protected. So that means whatever floor they're on, it's like, I think, you know, they're like 130 stories up, which is, if I do the math fairly correctly, that's like 1,300 feet in the air, something like that. If not more, because I think it's like 10 feet a story, but it might be 12 feet. It might be more. Anyway, it's way the hell up there. And there's the scenes where Tom Cruise is running down the outside of the building, and it's him. And he's swinging back and forth from the outside of the building, and it's him. There might be a couple shots or two where it's an actual stunt person, but, you know, they, of course, would have nets set up, and he's got, you know, wire safety stuff and all that, which get taken out using computers later, but still. All right, so I was with my friend Craig, who I mentioned earlier in the show, and my other friend Tim. The three of us, we get together at Craig's place and we watch movies. Usually each week we do this, but we've had a run where we haven't been able to do it because we've been sick, or somebody's been out of town, or whatever. So this past week we watched Ghost Protocol. And I knew about this sequence being in there, and it got to it, right? So the scene opens up, and there's the team is cutting the window out of, they're inside the, it's I guess a hotel or something, so they're in the room. They cut out the window from floor to ceiling, and they remove that. You know, they have these, you know, they have all this equipment. It's amazing that they have this equipment, but, you know, because you never know when you have to cut out a window. They have all the stuff they need. They get the window out of the frame, and so it's open. It's an opening in the wall, and you step out that, you're going to fall that 1,300 feet, if not more. So it's, you know, that's open. Now, the movie takes a little bit of a license by not having it be super windy in the room and loud in the room, because it would be, because you're that high up in the air. It's going to be a bit windy up there. And not only that, that would be a spoiler. I'm not going to give that. So it would be windy up there. And the shot that we're seeing at first, there's like, I think it's Tom Cruise is in the camera. Or somebody is, and you can see behind them the open window. You can see that. You're just looking straight out. You just see off to the horizon. You don't see how high up they are. It's just an open space in the wall. But I know what's coming. And I said, and I started having a reaction, and I said to my friends, I said, God damn it, my balls are up in my abdomen already. I don't know if you know that feeling. Do you know that feeling? I mean, if you don't have balls, testicles, sorry. If you don't have those, you might not understand that part. But I think people that have different genitalia than what I got, you still get that deep in the guts, down in the crotch kind of feeling when you're way up high and you feel like you're going to fall. Or jump, or something. You get that deep down in your guts, down toward the sphincter. We all got one of those. We all got lots of them. We got lots of sphincters in our bodies, but usually when we say sphincter, we're thinking of the butthole. So anyway, enough dirty talk here. I'm just like they hadn't even shown the killer shot that they did go to show right after I said what I said, where Tom Cruise is now standing in the opening in the wall, and the camera comes from behind him over the top of him looking down, so we see the top of his head, and then we come outside of the building and it's just a shot straight down, and I just went, oh boy, oh God. And then he's out on the building doing things, and I'm going, yeah, come on. I was really reacting to it. I guess that's effective filmmaking when you can get that kind of reaction out of somebody. Because I said, my friend's got a pretty good-sized TV, but I wonder how bad it would have been in a movie theater watching this going on, because I would have been squirming in my seat to no end watching this going, oh, jeez. But it was great. You know, the entertainment value was great. The feeling, that even that down in there, I mean, it was from anticipation. Like I said, I hadn't even seen the crazy shots yet. It was just the idea that there's this open hole in the wall, which, after the open hole in the wall became less of a focus, because whatever needed to be done was taken care of, but now something else needs to be done, and people are in this room, and the three of us watching it would say, get away from the window, because people keep getting close to the window. What are you doing? I would be nowhere near that window. I would be as far away from that window if I was staying in that room as I could be. I would not walk over to it to look out. I don't have a problem walking up to a floor-to-ceiling window in a tall building, as long as the window's there, and getting up close and looking down. I don't have a problem doing that, but if that window ain't there, I ain't doing that. So we're looking at this thing, get away from the window. I don't know how many times we said it. A couple of times at least. So, yeah. So that's effective filmmaking, though. But I will say this, I'll have a slight pedantic moment for this here. This is only slightly spoilers. There's a point in the movie where Tom Cruise's character, Ethan Hunt, is fighting a bad guy. I won't say which bad guy or what, you know. He's fighting a bad guy, and they're fighting over a suitcase. And in the suitcase is something very important. I won't say what. So they're fighting over that. Ethan wants that suitcase, or Tom Cruise. He wants it, and the other guy wants it, and they're back and forth, and punching into each other, and they're fighting in a very interesting setting, which is one of those car vending machines. It's a big old building with all kinds of platforms, and that where the cars are stored, and then they have these elevators and things that lift up a platform that turn and go up and down, and the cars move onto that platform, and it's like constant movement. It's like the stairwells in Hogwarts. It's just movement going around and all that. So all this stuff is happening while the two guys are fighting. So one's falling off one platform, landing on another, jumping from one platform to another, going this way, the cars are rolling by. It's all a thing. You know, it's all a thing happening, right? This fight. And there's one bit of platform that had me get pedantic. The suitcase falls onto one empty platform. The bad guy is far away from it. He's too far away from it to be able to get there. So Tom Cruise is close to it, right? And he jumps from one platform onto the other one, except he doesn't quite make it all the way on. His upper half of the body lands on the platform, which, by the way, in movies, characters have superior strength in their hands and arms, that they can be falling off a cliff and they can grab on with their hands and stop the fall. They can, mentioning Hogwarts again, Harry Potter's falling off the roof of the building because a dragon was chasing him, and he catches himself on this little ledge with his hands. It's not going to happen in the real world. Of course, you're not going to have a dragon flying around after you either, but this is what they do in movies. Characters can do it. Well, so Ethan Hawke lands, but he lands kind of on his belly. So from his belly up to his chest, the upper body is laying on the platform, right? And the suitcase is just out of reach from him. And his legs are dangling off the other side. And he's reaching and reaching and reaching for the suitcase, which isn't going anywhere. And I said, get on the platform first, then pick up the suitcase. So anyway. As I said, I'm not sure that you need to see all of the previous movies. Maybe just see the first one, you'll get an idea of some of the characters, but you'll get an idea of what the movie's about, or what this team is about, what they do. Maybe there's going to be, if you've never seen any of the Mission Impossible stuff, there's going to be some things that you might not quite catch. Like the idea of the mask wearing thing. Well, we should be doing masks. There's like a joke going through the film about wearing masks, because that was a thing in the first movie absolutely, and through the other movies, it periodically comes up. There's some kind of mask wearing thing. So anyway, you know, maybe that joke doesn't hit as well if you don't. But I think the movie itself, if you just watch it for what it is, knowing that this is like a spy group that does special operations, you'll be okay. So it's worth watching. It's Mission Impossible 4 Ghost Protocol, released in 2011. My goodness. Time just flies. Oh, speaking of which, it's time for my next break. Hey, break number two. You're listening to Dimland Radio on the ZTalk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. That's it. And I'm your host, Jim, Dr. Jim Fitzsimmons. Again, I'll return after this break. God willing.
Dear God, hope you got the letter, and I pray you can make it better down here. I don't mean a big reduction in the price of beer.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Do you believe in ghosts? Do you think Bigfoot is real? Do you suspect that your neighbor is really Val Tor, leader of the lizard people of Bendar 3? Well, Dr. Dim doesn't, and he'll tell you why when you tune into Dimland Radio Saturday nights, 11 Central, midnight Eastern on ZTalk Radio Network. It's an hour of science promotion, pop culture rants, personal observation, and of course, skepticism. Join Jim, Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons, Saturday nights, 11 Central, midnight Eastern for Dimland Radio on ZTalk Radio Network. Remember, there's no hugging in the chat room. You're listening to Dimland Radio on ZTalk Radio Network.
I am living on Channel Z.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
I am living on Channel Z.
And welcome back to Dimland Radio on the ZTalk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. All the bumpers tonight, or in this week's show, I don't know what time of the day you're listening to it, all the bumpers are provided by what's likely my second favorite band. You know my first favorite band. You know who they are. My second favorite band would be XTC. So all the bumpers tonight were by XTC. Check them out. They're a really, really, really good band that just didn't make it big enough. Oh, they should have been big. They should have been monsters. But, you know, but they're well respected by other musicians and bands that did make it big. They said, yeah, these guys are good. They're a big influence on us. So anyway, XTC. XTC. You know, like spelled out with the letters. And if you go to the show notes, I will have, as you get down to the end of the show notes, I always put in the songs that I use for my bumpers, and if I can find links to them on YouTube where you can check out the songs, I link them. So, unless I forget, I think I forgot once a few weeks ago, but hey, you know, I'm almost 60. Speaking of old, here's the getting to the political segment of the show. Peerless Loser is selling Bibles now. Ha ha! Isn't that great? I mean, there is no low that he won't sink to and get below. There isn't. And there's nothing that his MAGAs, the MAGA people, will not accept that he does. I mean, when he was suggesting they take the vaccine, some of them booed. So maybe there is a limit, you know, but he created that monster. Although those MAGAs may have been strong anti-vaxxers prior to becoming MAGAs. So maybe those are the ones that are booing because they were already there and the groundwork has already been laid and Loser is just tapping into you know, into their paranoia and their conspiracy. But he did try to get him to take it, and they did boo him. Nevertheless, he's selling Bibles now. Apparently in the Bible, there's also the Declaration of Independence, and there's the some other, you know, like the Pledge of Allegiance and that kind of stuff. I mean, I would have thought that the Bible, that Trump would have gone in and redacted a bunch of stuff from the Bible. You know, all that stuff that had to do with adultery. You know, the guy who was married to wife number one and then cheated on wife number one with the woman who eventually became wife number two. Then he cheated on wife number two with the woman who eventually became wife number three. And then when wife number three, he cheated on with a porn star while wife number three was at home with his newborn baby. And the porn star, he paid like $140,000 to not, you know, to keep your mouth shut because I'm going to run for president and don't want you saying anything. Yeah. That guy. The guy who said, hey, because you're a celebrity, you can just walk up to women and grab them by the pussy. You can just move on them like a bitch. That guy. That guy. He's selling a Bible. A book he claims to be his favorite book. But he must only claim that because it's his favorite because he's heard that a lot of people like it. Because I guarantee you, he's never read it. He's never read the Bible. Never. And you know how we can say that with a fair amount of certainty? Because he wasn't asked outright if he's read the Bible. But a couple of evangelicals, which, don't get me going on evangelicals, because evangelicals aren't, I mean, I know this is kind of like the no true Scotsman fallacy, but they aren't really Christians. They're not interested in Christ. They're interested in Christ as far as he can give them power to control other people, to make their way of life the way of life for everybody else, their viewpoints the viewpoints of everybody else. Yeah, you know, that's, you know, they're not Christian. They're not taking in this. They're not, you know, there might be some evangelicals that give some money to help feed people and all that kind of stuff, but they certainly don't want to welcome the stranger into their home, into their land. They don't want to do that, which Jesus said that they should do, but they're not doing that. So they get all interested, they all get all bent out of shape because of immigration and people coming over undocumentedly. Oh, it's terrible. And you notice how it's always a big deal around in election years, this immigration, especially presidential election years. Oh, the caravans were coming the last time. Remember, the caravans are coming. Caravans with brown people are coming for us. They're going to replace us. Some real Americans who are white and Christian and male. They're coming to replace us. You remember? Remember the caravans? Didn't hear about the caravans, did you, after the election was over? Did you? So, it's always a thing. Yes, it needs to be dealt with. Yes, it is a problem. But it needs to be, you know, there's something out there that on television. There's an ad, which I know you don't watch ads, but I do when I'm watching sporting events because I can't just switch away because I'm watching them on Hulu, okay? And so that it's not like a TV channel sort of thing where you can just change the channel. You have to get out of Hulu, go to something else. No, we just leave it playing because we want, you know, to watch the game when it comes back. There's an ad for Western Union, and they're Hispanic folks in a kitchen working. Well, one of them's working away, preparing food. There's like three of them in the background kind of goofing around. And then there's a fifth person in there talking to us, the viewer, about this particular guy that's doing this work, that he's a good cook and he's trying to make a living and he envisions better things for himself and, you know, and all that. And then in walks the I guess it's his aunt, because he calls her tia, which I believe means aunt in Spanish, like, you know, aunt and uncle. So she comes in, and she, you know, she seems like she's tough, and she's speaking Spanish. She talks to the three goofing around people in the back, and they turn around and all look a little ashamed. And, you know, it's like, oh, we got time to play around at work and not work, huh? She's got that attitude. That's kind of what she says. I don't know Spanish. I took 3 years of it in high school, but anyway. So she's got that kind of look on her face. Yeah. And so they straighten up. Then the guy talking to us says, you know, starts giving us more information about, hey, we, you know, Western Union, we use this Western Union app. Now, he uses it, the guy that he's the good cook that's doing the work. He says he uses this to send money to his familia back home. And then the actor who's talking to us makes this point. He kind of and he underlines it a little bit by sort of like leaning toward us a bit as he says it. He says, "That's why we're here." So here we have Wells, Western Union. I was going to say Wells Fargo, but Western Union. Here we have an established company that's been in the, Western Union has been around for decades and decades and decades, right? Here we have this established company in an ad acknowledging and trying to influence viewers into realizing that these people who are coming here are coming to work and they're coming to support their families. And that's what they're coming here for. They're not coming here to bring drugs and murderers and rapists and all that kind of stuff, which is the fear-mongering that the Republicans want to throw at you. And again, we say, well, sure, there's bad people in there, but the vast majority are coming for a better way of life. But they're brown, so we have to have problems with it. Am I suggesting racism? Yes, I am. So anyway, that's an interesting ad where there's an acknowledgement and sort of, I guess, it's a way that Western Union is trying to, get people who are doing that to use their app to send money home. But they're also just, it's like ads all of a sudden. Well, not maybe not all of a sudden, but it's a recent phenomenon. Where we see mixed race couples, a black husband and a white wife or vice versa. We're seeing a lot more of this. And it's not underlined. It's not emphasized at all. It's just, these are two people that are married to each other. We see gay couples, men kissing in an ad or two I've seen. It's, when the corporate world starts to understand that, hey, these are people we could market to, when they start to show this, that this is normal, these are human beings, they're people, it's normal, it's fine. This isn't a threat. The GOP needs to learn something about that. So anyway. So Peerless Loser is selling Bibles, a book he's never read. And again, how do we know he's never read it? Because the evangelicals, two of them, while he was campaigning, asked him. They said, you've said the Bible is your favorite book. Could you tell us, what's a favorite verse of yours from the Bible? It's a personal thing. It's personal. It's not something I would choose. It's not something I would get into because it's a personal thing. Oh, well, do you consider yourself an Old Testament person or a New Testament person? I say equal. I say they're equal. Yeah, they're pretty much equal, but it's a personal thing. It's like, if I were sitting there, I'd just be going, bull shit. You couldn't even come up with John 3:16. Let's see. For God so loved the world that he sent his son, which is him, believe in him, or me, which is me, God, yada, 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 or Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Yeah. Or Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of blah, 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 blah. Or even John 11:35. Jesus wept. Yeah, that was a little too short to give a dismissive repeated word thing to. Oh, well. It couldn't even come up with that one. Or get this. He would love this one. Oh, he would love this one. Ezekiel 23, verse 20. There she lusted after her lovers, whose genitals were like those of donkeys, and whose emission was like that of horses. Ooh, I like women who like big dongs and lots of cum. Sorry to get blue. But that's in the Bible. This book is in our schools. It's in the Bible. God, of course he's never read that thing. He's never read the Bible. He has no idea. When you're saying, it's just a too personal thing for me to do. It's too personal. I couldn't pick one. It wouldn't be something I could do. That's just he's full of shit. $60 to buy one of those Bibles. It's got to be riddled with typos. And just a little, like, a prayer in school thing. This is something I mentioned on Facebook or somewhere. You know, there's a lot of the real super Christian types that want there to be prayer in school. They think all these problems we're having in schools, like the shootings in schools and the other problems in schools, it's all due to the fact that they took prayer out of school. Now we gotta get prayer back in school. We gotta get a daily prayer said by our students. It would not hurt them. A daily prayer said in schools. We should be doing that. We should be prayer in school. So let's imagine. Let's have a little fun. Let's imagine there's a school board somewhere in America that decides, they're right. We should have a daily prayer in school. So they have that, there's that this next school board meeting, when the decision's been made, the school board, the head of the board, the chairman, says to the gathered people the good news. Says, okay, we are going to, at the beginning of the next term, the next school year, public school students in this district or in this, whatever, are going to be required to say a daily prayer in school. They're going to be required. And then the cheers from the galley, the gallery, or whatever we call it, the cheers going up from the people gathered. Yes, we've won. We've got school prayer again. This is what we've wanted. This will solve all the problems. They're all cheering happy. And then the chairperson says, the prayer we're going to be saying is Muhammad's prayer of light. Then you watch those Christians, those people that want school prayer, not be so keen on prayer in school. You just watch it. What? It's a prayer. It's being said in school. It's a prayer to God. Muhammad's prayer of light? Some Muslim thing? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was a big old accident that happened this past week in Maryland. The Francis Scott Key Bridge was hit by a massive tanker loaded up with I think cars, heading out to Singapore. Something happened. We don't know exactly what happened, but power went out. We could see the video. There's a video of this happening. We can see power going out. We can see black smoke coming out of their smokestack. Or it's coming out of the ship somewhere, maybe the smokestack, but that's indicating there's a fire on there. There's something. Something went wrong. The power went out. The power comes back on. The power went out. The power comes back on. The power goes out, and the crew was able to get a mayday message out, which allowed for bridge security or somebody to be able to stop traffic from going across the bridge. And the traffic had gotten off the bridge just moments before the tanker hits into the pier that holds the bridge up, and then the whole thing just comes down. Now, and of course, social media being what it is, people go for suddenly become experts on nautical matters, on how a tanker can be steered, and how it's got redundancies and all this kind of stuff. And one person did say, well, that's somewhat true, but there's also the possibility that the second generator wasn't being used because it saves money. That certain things weren't done because it saves money and saves time, and time is money. So there may be some human incompetency here. There may be something that, who knows what it was that caused this tanker to go into the thing. And we don't think it was a terrorist act. We don't think it was the deep state wanting to get rid of that bridge. But there's one thing that I'm really sure that it wasn't. And I don't know if this is widespread at all. I don't know if this is going around. One person I know through Facebook, through Z-Talk Radio and Facebook, and he and I have had conversations and joke back and forth with each other. He's more into the paranormal, and I'm not. I'm a skeptic. But he's got a certain amount of skepticism going on as well. And he understands my point of view, and I kind of understand his. I was there too. I just believed in a lot of this stuff. But he posted an image And I might put it on the show notes page. I might not, because I don't know if I'm going to get it spread around. He posted an image, and I don't know if it was doctored by someone or if it's something in the... I haven't had a chance to compare it to the raw video of the collapse of the bridge. But he posted an image that shows... I don't know if the bridge is... It shows the tanker. At least shows it coming at the bridge, and maybe the bridge is starting to come down. I can't remember exactly. But he puts a red circle, or somebody put the red circle, around a vague shape at the top of the high arch of the bridge, you know, the way up, you know, above in the air above the bridge, you know, the part of the span or whatever it is. There's this arch up there, and it's a black shape. It's a blob squatch, of course, you know, because you can't see any details, so you could be whatever you want to say it is. And he suggests Mothman. You know, in that part of the world, Mothman is a thing. And one of the legends of the Mothman is that he shows up before disasters. So here we've got the Mothman showing up before this disaster, before this bridge got knocked down, right? So, or at least we have the blob there that can be suggested that that's the Mothman, you know. And so he puts that up there, and of course, you know, of course it's not the Mothman. Everybody knows it's a barred owl.
Good night, Herr Doctor.
Good night, Frau Blücher.
Well, I've come to the end of another show. You've been listening to Dimland Radio on the ZTalk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. Be skeptical, and extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Remember, the answer is never magic. And also, this is Jim, Dr. Denford Simmons, reminding you to sleep with the lights off. You can check out my show notes at dimland.com. Just click on the blog option. And you can email your questions and comments to drdim@dimland.com. That's drdim@dimland.com. And the opening theme song, Ram, is by Theolius and is used with permission.
This has been a production of the ZTalk Radio Network.
And now, a message to our competitors.
Thanks
for tuning us in.
Well, I'm going to hell.